Notice how I stalled putting my guitar back and get a drink of water so I don't have to do that? It's a good move, right? I'm just kidding. Faithful, just help me out. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Are you glad for the word?
Amen.
Hey, man, you know, I say, oh, I don't know, I'm kind of tired. Just by faith, jump in.
Right.
Praise God. I'll tell you what. God gave you a handbook. This is on my heart. Gave you a handbook to not fail in any area of your life. Anything that you're struggling with at all is in here. If you're struggling with being bitter, you're struggling with resentment, you're struggling with your love walk, it's in here. You're struggling financially, it's in here. Struggling in your body, it's in here. Praise God. Struggling in your mind, it's in here. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, we're just thrilled to be able to just get in God's word, and we're excited about it. And just by faith, we enter in this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we get into the word. And let's make sure that what he wants said will get said. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. I just love your word this morning. Your word is you. Your word is your will. Father, we don't have to wonder who you are. We don't have to be confused as to what you want for us in this life. No, Father, you said in your word clearly who you are and clearly what you want for us in this life. And Father, I thank you that your word is a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. Father, you never intended us to stumble and fumble around in this life, Father. You intended for us to walk in victory and to walk in your highest. And Lord, we give you the praise. I thank you. You speak through me this morning. I thank you. My words are not my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Of course, you know we've been looking at this financial series, and it took me almost 3 years, praise the Lord, to really do an extended teaching on finances. But praise God, we're just diving right in. And if you'll be a doer of the word, you'll increase in your finances. Amen?
Amen?
You'll increase in your life. Glory to God. God has put so much in here concerning finances. Why? Because he wants you blessed in that area. The same way I want my kids taken care of is the same way God wants his kids taken care of. And God wants you taken care of more than you want yourself taken care of. I know that's hard to believe because you know how much you want to be taken care of. You know how much your bills and everything and how dear it is to you to make sure that you're provided for. God wants more for you. Praise God. I want to do a real quick review, and I mean real quick because I want to get going. In Genesis 14, and you don't have to turn there for the review, Genesis 14 and verse 19, we see that Abraham, praise God, was a tither. Hallelujah. Didn't we see that? Amen. And that's interesting and good for us to know that, because that was 400 and some to 500 and some years before the law of tithing even came about. And in Genesis 14 and verse 19, it says, and he blessed him and said, this is King Melchizedek, who's a shadow and type of Jesus. We don't bring our tithes to a man anymore. We don't bring our tithes to the priest. We bring our tithes to Jesus. Glory to God. Where? In his church. Praise God. And it says this in Genesis 14, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. We see all through the word how blessed Abraham was. We see that he was rich in cattle, silver, and gold. He was the richest man alive at the time. And we see in verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him, Abraham gave King Melchizedek, tithes of all. So Abraham did it by faith. He didn't do it by commandment. He did it by faith. He brought his tithes to the priest who represented God. He brought his tithes to him. Why? To honor God. Not because he felt forced to. Not because, oh, I don't want. No, because he wanted to honor God. Glory to God. How hard is it to bring God a tenth? He lets us keep 90. He gives us the air to breathe. He gives us a healthy body. He gives us an America to live in. He gives us homes and vehicles. And people struggle with giving back to God. I don't understand it. Hallelujah. And so we need to all get our minds renewed because our finances are being hurt because we're not doing it. And you'll see today, not only are your finances being hurt, but we see Abraham was a tither. And then if we jump over to Galatians 3 and verse 7, we see that the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that we have a supernatural, divine connection to Abraham. In Galatians 3 and verse 7, it says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, are you of faith here this morning? If you're born again, the answer to that question is yes, you are. It says, they that which are of faith are the same are the children of who? Abraham. Spiritually, in a spiritual lineage, The Bible says that if you're born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that you are also in the line. You are the children of Abraham. And in verse 9 it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If we look at Abraham's life and if we do what Abraham did, we can expect to be blessed like Abraham was blessed. God didn't just respect Abraham. No, he respects people that do his word. Amen? Amen. Those that do his word, God doesn't change. It's amazing to me. And I find this situation, I find this at times, and it's interesting talking to other pastors, and Pastor Nancy Dufresne in Canada talked about this, how you can be somebody's hero one day and somebody's zero the next. Just like that. Yet the message hasn't changed. I want to give people the same advice from the Word of God when things are high and when things are low. Yet when things get low, people start to get bitter. They start to get grudgingly. They start to get upset at God. They start to get upset at their pastor. Listen, I'm not changing. God's not changing. The same message will be preached for the last 3 years is the same message I'm going to be preaching till the day Jesus comes back. We're not changing. Why? God doesn't change. His word always remains the same. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, they that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And in John 8 and verse 39, Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would do the what? The works of Abraham. Can I just tear the curtain off something that the body of Christ needs to know? You didn't get saved by works, did you? By grace are you saved, and that not of yourself. Or you could say it this way, no works got you saved. But once you're saved, you better darn believe that the body of Christ and your life as a Christian ought to be filled with works. Not works to get him to be pleased, not works to try to get into heaven. Works of tithing, works of love, works of faith, works of service, works of generosity. Amen. This whole movement of once I'm saved, I don't have to do anything is a bunch of garbage that the devil wants people to believe. Hallelujah, your life better. Can you tell I'm on one today? I'm on one because I'm telling you, I just was in the presence of God all week long and I got something. Glory to God. But it says we would do the works of Abraham. One of the works of Abraham was out of the goodness of his heart, he tithed on all his increase. Right. Praise God. And he was blessed. Now here's what I want you to see, because this is the gist of what we looked at last week, and we'll go on to this week. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Praise God. There was a guy that went up to Brother Hagin, and he said, Brother Hagin, I've been a faithful tither for 10 years, and if it's changed my finances, I sure don't know it. Well, Brother Hagin did some digging, found out the guy wasn't giving in the way the New Testament person should give. He was giving out of, got to do this, you know, the Bible says to do it, got to do this, my pastor says. He wasn't giving with a cheerful attitude. He wasn't giving with a spirit of faith of, holy cow, I get to help God. I get to help the kingdom go forward. I get to send missionaries to the nations. I get to send guest ministers all over the country to preach a dynamic message like I got. I get to pay for a church building where people can come and get saved. I get to do all sorts of things. That's the attitude. And then the attitude of, and Lord, I know it's going to bless me too. He was given out of that, and it won't change it. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached didn't profit them. I can preach the word to you till I'm blue in the face, and it won't profit you unless you mix faith with it. If you come and hear Pastor Mike says to tithe, so I'm just going to tithe, you don't mix any faith with it, it won't profit you. And so why do things and not get a profit from it? We might as well get the profit from it. Glory to God. And it says by faith, by faith. You know what will help you be a better tither and a better giver? You know that the Bible says do all things as unto the Lord? Do you know that would change every area of your life? You'd treat your employer different if you looked at him as Jesus. I'll tell you what, when you show up here to serve in church, whether it's overhead, maybe it's nursery, maybe it's to be an usher, maybe it's to clean, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, you'd be here on time, you'd be here with a good attitude, and you'd be here ready to serve. Why? Because you're doing it to Jesus. You're not doing it as unto the pastor. You're not doing it as unto men. You're doing it for Jesus. Glory to God. I had a revelation of this one time back when my dad was really sick. You know, I had to do some things that a son doesn't want to have to do for his father. You know, bathe him, help him in the bathroom, and dress him. I mean, those are things you never expect growing up that you'd have to do for your dad. And I was starting to get kind of bitter about it and bitter towards him. Not to where I was treating him bad, but just my attitude was wrong. And man, I read that verse, do all things unto the Lord. And I started to look at him as if I was taking care of Jesus. And it changed my whole attitude. Praise the Lord, I get to help Jesus bathe. I get to help Jesus put clothes on. I get to help Jesus around the house. Praise God, I get to come to church and serve for Jesus. Praise God, I get to give my tithe to Jesus. But when we get that mixed up is when we start to get bitter. It starts to get dry. No, do all things as unto the Lord. Amen. I better get off that subject. We'll be on that all day, but I'll tell you, it's true. That's by faith. Jesus, I'm not bringing this because Pastor said so. Although Pastor's words line up with your word, I'm bringing this because I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing this for your kingdom, for your advancement of your kingdom. Just so you know, the world and the sinners aren't paying for the gospel to go forward. They're not paying for the plan of God to go forward. So hallelujah, we bring our tithe by faith. Now go with me today, go to the book of Job, and we will turn there. Now if you don't know where Job is, just go to Psalms. We all know where Psalms is. Back up a little bit and you'll be at Job's house. Hallelujah. Job is right before the book of Psalms. Job is the oldest book in the whole Bible. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'll say that, Lord. Remember Job said the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Job thought the Lord did that to his family. And the Bible clearly says in the first chapter that Satan came and did it. Yes, Job said the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But Job didn't know any better. Job didn't have a Bible like we had a Bible. Job didn't know about the loving God. His heart was right, but his doctrine was wrong. Amen? And the Lord gave him back double, didn't he? Hallelujah. Either God's bipolar and took it all away just so he could give him back double, or the devil stole and God said, double for your trouble, buddy. And here comes more for you. Glory to God. That's the God I serve. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, anyways, Job chapter 22. There's life here this morning. There's life here this morning. Job 22 and verse 21. You ready to be helped this morning? Yeah. Praise God. Everybody there? Job 22 and verse 21 says this, acquaint now yourself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. When it says acquaint now thyself with him, it's talking about becoming acquainted with God. Look what it says here. The ones that are acquainted with God will be at peace. The ones that know God, if you're acquainted with somebody, you know them. The ones that know God, they'll be at peace. Do you want to know how, if you know God or not? Can I give you a litmus test right now? Do you want to know if you're acquainted with God, yes or no? We think we are, but we're more acquainted at times in our consistency of things. And you say, explain that to me, Pastor. If someone came up to you today and said, your income for the next 2 months is going to be absolutely cut off, shut off, you ain't getting a penny, what would be your response? What would be your response? Because if your response is anything but praise God you got away, then you don't know God. Because your faith is more in your supply, your faith is more in the consistency of your paycheck than it is your God. Amen? Do you see that? The ones that are acquainted with God, they know, hey, this might have happened, but God's got something better for me. That's kind of a litmus test. How well do I really know God? How well am I acquainted with Him? If I suddenly didn't have any pay coming in for the next 2 months, would I believe my God to take care of me? Or would I be so bummed out and my face get down and walk around moping around? Well, wait a minute. Is your faith in God or is your faith in that check that came in? So you're telling me your faith was more in the consistency than it was in God. And so that's an odd man. When I got that revelation, man, I need to check up on myself. I need to be more acquainted with God, right? Hallelujah. Anything that comes across our desk, if we know God, we know He's got the answer for it. And there's no reason to mope. There's no reason to be down. There's no reason to be discouraged. Hallelujah. God's got good things for us. But it says the one that's acquainted with God will be at peace, and thereby good will come unto you. Now let me read that in the Amplified Bible. Just follow along. Listen here for a second. And listen to what it says in the Amplified in verse 21. It says, acquaint now yourself with him. Now this is the key. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will. Do you get that? Agree with God. Oh my gosh, the problems of a pastor would be solved if people would just agree with God. The Bible says to be in church. I agree with that, Father. I'll be there. The Bible says to tithe. I agree with that, Father. I'll be there. The Bible says to walk in love. I agree with that, Father. I'll walk in love. Woo, problems would be solved. Holy cow, we'd be walking on cloud nine. It's true. Now, listen to what it says. Acquaint not yourself with him. Agree with God. Show yourself to be conformed to his will. Be at peace. By that, you shall prosper and great good will come to you. That's the Bible. People that will acquaint themselves with God and not... See, God doesn't want you just to come to know him and then not to do what he says. That's why the Amplified takes that original Hebrew word and brings out the full meaning. When you're acquainted with God, the reason he wants you to be acquainted with him is so that you can agree with what he says, so you can do what he says to do. And it says to agree with God. So many people are bucking the system, and they're hurting for it. Their lives are hurting for it. God says to do something, and they say, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to conform to that. And their life suffers. I've made up my mind. Anything I see in here, I'm going to just do it. I'm not going to buck the system. I'm not going to be a rogue member of the body of Christ, a rebel with my own cause and my own purpose, doing my own thing. No, I'm going to do what God says, and then it's going to work out for me. It's true. Praise God. And so the Bible says to agree with him, to acquaint yourself with him, and great good will come unto you. Do you know there's more than great good than just finances? Really, honestly, finances are the lowest realm. Now, we magnify them so much in our life and in this country. Finances are the smallest realm of great good. You know what great good is? Knowing I got two healthy children in the nursery. That's great good. Knowing I got health in my body. That's great good. Knowing I got a home and I got protection. And knowing I got heaven. That's great good. Right? Knowing my kids are going to grow up serving in the house of God. That's great good. Hallelujah. Knowing there's people in my family that love me, that would have my back. That's great good. Now, finances can be included in that, but man, there's so much other things. And the Bible says that the ones that are acquainted with God, they'll be peaceful, and great good will come into their life. So we need to acquaint ourselves with God, don't we? We need to come acquaint ourselves with him. Hallelujah. Well, I want to take that a step further. Go over to Malachi chapter 3. What's that? Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Oh, last book in the Old Testament. Or as the Italians like to say, Malachi. Right? Whatever you want to call him. Brother Chris D'Amico, that was his joke. I stole that. The book of Malachi. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. You think you know where I'm going, but partly you do. But I want to show you something that agrees. The Bible always agrees. What a miracle this book is. That writers thousands of years apart all pointed and talked about the same person, Jesus. And they never contradicted themselves one time. That is a miracle. Writers from hundreds of years ago talked about the same guy. And they never sat down in a room and said, well, let's make this good. You know, because in 2013, there's going to be a lot of skeptics out there about the Bible. No, it's just so awesome, the power of God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Praise God. You're going to be blessed this morning. For I am the Lord. Now, this ain't me. I'm not saying I am. I'm just reading what it says here. But this is through the prophet Malachi. He says, I am the Lord. I change not. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I always love people that say, and I've heard this, I'm mad at God right now. And I say, how in the heck is that working for you? Is that working out well for you, being mad at God? It's not, is it? No, it's not. You better change your attitude. God's not your problem. You are your problem. Amen. It's true. God's never the issue. If we would conform to his will, either he's a liar or it will work. But Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because of that, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. What's that? His commandments, his word, what he said to do. He says, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and what? I'll return to you. I've prayed for, you know, when I say blue cards, don't think I'm just talking about this church. I used to pray for the blue cards at Jamestown. So when I'm calling off problems, I'm not, you know, it's easier to call people's problems in here because there's less of us. But when I say I'm praying for the blue cards, I'm talking about hundreds of people at the Jamestown church too. So stop trying to think, well, who's that person he's talking about? But I'll get blue cards and pray over them that say, I want God to be closer to me. God's left me. I say, he ain't gone nowhere. He's inside you. Draw near to him, and the Bible says he'll draw near to you. He says right here, return unto me, and I'll return to you. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's waiting for people to do what he said to do. We have to stop mocking God and just think that it's always going to all just work out just because. Just because I'm an American, I live in this country, and I go to church. No. You got to do what the Bible says to do. And he says, return to me and I'll return to you. Hallelujah. I love that. I love it. Praise God. And he says this, but you said, wherein shall we return, Lord? Now remember, we looked at the first verse in Job, that if you acquaint yourself with God, the way you acquaint yourself with God is his word. This is how we find out intimately who he is. Find out every bit about his characteristics. Every bit of his character and his demeanor is found in the word of God. And the Bible says that if we acquaint ourselves with him, we'll be at peace, right? If we agree with what he, you know, to agree with God is to be a doer of the word. The New Testament calls being a doer of the word. The Old Testament calls it agreeing with God. Being a doer of God's word. Well, he says in verse 7, their problem is, they've gone away from me. Well, how? God explains how they went away from me. We'll go back to verse 7. Sorry, Rachel. He says that you have not kept my ordinance. You've gone away from my ordinances. And God says, return unto me. How do you return unto God? You do his word. He's so awesome. Let me just tell you, I don't care how bad you've messed up. I don't care how bad you've strayed. I don't care how many years upon years of unfaithfulness. All you have to do is return unto him. Start doing the word. He's not there with a club to beat you over the head, to make you feel terrible. Oh, you missed church this many times. Oh, you weren't faithful here. Oh, you weren't faithful there. No, God says, return unto me and I'll just return unto you. And everything at my disposal will be available to you. Do you remember the prodigal son? Remember, there was two sons. The eldest son stayed at home, and the other son went off, wasted. He said, Dad, I need my inheritance now. I don't want it when I'm old or when you're dead. I need it right now. And so his dad gave him the inheritance. He went out and wasted it, the Bible calls, on riotous living, spent all that he had, wasted all that his dad had given to him. And what happened? He had nothing, and he had nowhere to go. And he said, boy, I just would like to go back and eat the slop that the animals eat. I'd like to just go back and be one of my dad's servants. And remember, he's coming with his head hanging low. He messed up so bad, coming with his head hanging low. And the Bible says, Daddy saw him on the porch from afar off. And Dad didn't just stand there with a club and say, oh, he's got it coming to him. Remember, he left his father. He didn't stand there and say, oh, you wait till he comes back. I'm going to give him the business. I'm going to give him the business at the end of Daddy. The Bible says his dad sprinted. His dad run to him with arms wide open and hugged him and said, son, everything that I have is yours. That's a picture of our Heavenly Father. Return to him. Start doing his word. He loves you. He's waiting for you. The word is the door into more. Glory to God. When you do the word, you'll get what God has for you. And he says, return to me. Why does he want you to return to you? So he can bless you. He wants you to do his word. He doesn't want you to have to go to church so he can mess up your late night Saturday nights and make you get up and get ready on Sunday morning. He wants you here because he wants to water you. He wants to put something in you. He wants to bless you, glory to God. And he says, return unto me and I'll return unto you. He's so merciful. I tell you, one of the things I start out praying to God every time I say, Lord, thank you for your patience with me. I'll tell you, if anybody could have outlasted the patience of God, it would have been me, and I didn't do it. He's still merciful. He's still patient with me. He still loves me. He's forgiven everything I've ever done wrong. He'll do the same for you. Praise God. And I say, Lord, I just thank you. You're so patient with me. What would I do without your patience? I'm just so thankful for it. But he says here, return to me and I'll return to you. How do we return? Doing his ordinance. Now look at what it says. But you said, where shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now, I think this is an absolute amazing statement because every single one of you and every single Christian wants God to turn their situation around. They want God to turn their finances around. They want God to turn their body around. They want God to turn their relationships around. They want God to turn their businesses around. They want God to turn their wrong thinking around, the depression around. They want God to turn everything around, right? But the Bible says, will a man rob God? And the Lord says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, see, we dealt with the faith issue. Now we're going to go a little deeper and dig even deeper with the tithe because you need to see all that it encompasses. Because it's more than just, well, let's just do it because. No, why are we doing it? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you, Lord? And God tells us, you have gone away from me, and you have robbed me, and you have not done my ordinances in tithes. Everybody say, and offerings. The tithe is a tenth part of any increase that you get, that we saw the father Abraham, that the Bible says we should do the works of Abraham. Now, I don't want to get into a, you got to tithe, because that brings the law and it brings drudgery down. No, we get to tithe. It's an honor to tithe. It's the door into getting more in our finances, and it's a door to being a blessing to the body of Christ. But the Lord's view on it is that people have robbed him by withholding the tenth part and then above the tenth part in an offering. You see, if you're a person that gets all grumbly mad that it says and offerings, you don't have a generous mindset. You don't understand how God works. You can't outgive God. I've proven it. I have gone out on a limb. You know when you go out on a limb, maybe you go, maybe say this is a limb, and you go out this far and the branch doesn't move that far. And then you go out this far and it bends a little bit more. But man, when you get out here, I've been so far out on a branch with God in my giving before, and he's proven every time, son, you can't outgive me. And he has blown me away time and time again. But he says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, this is what I want us to look at today in these verses. How do you expect for God? See, we think it's only financial based. And I'm going to tell you some stories. I'm going to have someone testify here today. And I'm going to show you in the Word, tithing and offering has so much more to do than just your financial well-being. It has well-being to do with your family, has well-being to do with your health, has well-being to do with your protection. You know how you're robbing God? God don't need your money in heaven. He needs it down here, and you're robbing him of his kingdom going forward, and you're robbing him of being able to bless his children. I'm talking about you. When you give, God opens the door, being a doer of the word, for God to be able to pour out the blessings that he said he would do. And it's amazing to me. Now, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. It's amazing to me. People pray to God to change things, and yet they got a gun saying, stick it up. Hold it up, God. Hold up, I'm robbing you. It's very hard to get blessed from somebody you're robbing. Very hard to get blessed from somebody that you're robbing. Hallelujah. And people are robbing the very God they want to bless them. Goes on in verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11 continues the blessing of the tither. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Who's the devourer? The stealer, the killer, the destroyer. He doesn't just try to steal, kill, and destroy in your finances. He wants to do it to your business. He wants to do it to your body. He wants to do it to your kids. He wants to do it to your family. He wants to do it to every area of your life. He's a nasty old thing. Praise God. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And the nations, all the nations shall call you the tither blessed, for you'll be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I want to go through this with you. Verse 8, we saw people are robbing God. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way else to say it. If you refuse to be a doer of the word in this area, the Bible calls you a thief. You want to know why? Because in Leviticus 27, it says the tithe is holy unto God. Notice the wording, Rachel. Can we go to verse 10? Notice the wording in verse 10. Notice it doesn't say give the tithe. You can't give what's not yours. You can bring what's not yours. God never said that you're giving him 10%. He says in God's mind, he sees the 10% as his. Holy unto the Lord. We don't give God 10%. We bring God 10%. Hallelujah. But this is what I want you to see. I want to show you this now because we need to dig deep, because we need to uncover some things, because people are hurting financially, because they've never been taught this stuff, because they've been in places that are scared to death to teach a tithe. I'm not scared to teach the word of God. The Lord dealt with me. Stop being ashamed of my word and just preach it with boldness. Paul was talking about an offering that they were taking up for himself. I've never gotten up here and said, you need to give me an offering. Now that's boldness. I'm just telling you what the Bible is saying to do with your tithe and your offering. That man was so bold, he was saying, listen, you're going to show me how much you love me by this offering amount. Yeah, imagine if your pastor God said that. Praise. We pray for boldness, but are you sure you want it? Are you sure you want it? Because that's what the Apostle Paul did. And he said in Philippians 4 about an offering, he said, listen, what you did was a good thing. Offering to himself. He didn't get up there and say, well, you know, are you sure? He said, no, what you did was right. And it was good that you gave. And I'm going to tell how much you love me by the amount of this offering. The apostle of God. Hallelujah. So I'm not ashamed of his word. I'm just following in some good people's footsteps here that were really bold. Hallelujah. And so notice what it says here in verse 10. Bring ye how many of the tithes? All the tithes. Now, I need to explain this on a level that people understand what this means. Because when the tithe is withheld, the Bible looks at it as robbing. Listen, I understand people can't be in church 52 weeks out of the year. I understand people have work commitments. I understand people have they go on vacations. I understand things come up. But I also understand that when you go on vacation and that when you are missing work or that you're missing church for whatever reason, you still got a paycheck. You still got something that has 10% attached to it that belongs to your Father. People take the attitude of, well, you know, I wasn't in church that week. That means I don't have to give my tithe. Wait a minute. God still sees you increased. God still sees. And see, the problem is the kingdom of God suffers because people don't bring their tithe. Can I give you, just let you know something here? Can I? Yeah. I want you to want this now. Praise the Lord. God will call a church to do certain things. Everything that God calls us to do, well, I'll say it this way, 90-some percent of what God calls us to do is going to have a price tag attached to it. Called me to write a book, it's going to have a price tag attached to it. Called us to build a building, price tag. Calls us to be givers and to help with missionaries and ministers, price tag attached to it. Keep the lights on, price tag. Heat, air conditioning, price tag. Maintenance on the parking lot, cleaning the building, supplies. Everything, right, going forward with God, outreaches, price tag, Olean, price tag. And God will call a church to do certain things based on the provision and the supply that's within that certain body. See, God knows what everybody's tithe in this building would make up. And so therefore, expecting you to be a doer of the word, he'll lay things on my heart, knowing they can be paid for because we got faithful people in the church that can do it by bringing their tithe. Do you see that? That's why he says, there'll be meat in my house. And when people withhold the tithe, there's not meat in the house. And there's things that the Lord wants to do that we can't do. There's things the Lord has wanted me to do that I've had to hold off on. I'll just be honest. Have to hold off. Shouldn't have to. God does not call us to do things that we can't afford. He knows the certain body of believers that are there. And so if we would all do this, if we'd all be a blessing, there'd be meat in the storehouse. And we would do every single thing that God has for us to do. Amen? And people would be blessed. Praise God. So bring all the tithes. Listen, if you're serving in nursery or if you're, I guess that's the only ministry that's really not really seen in the church that doesn't get to sit on service, you still made an income that week. Yeah. If you had to work that week, you still made an income that week. If you're on vacation, you still made an income that week. And we have to be faithful and bring the tithe to the storehouse. Hallelujah. Now, notice it says bring. Can't send your tithe in. I mean, you can, don't misunderstand me. That's faithful of you to send it. But I'm talking about people sending it. They'll send it to a traveling minister. They'll send it other places. No. He said to bring it. Why? He wants your rear end in church. He wants you there. He wants you to bring it. And notice he says where to bring it. The storehouse that there might be meat in mine house. You don't tithe to a man. You don't tithe to a family. You don't tithe to a charity. You tithe to your storehouse. And he tells us, so there's meat in my house. What is the house of God? The church that you're going to is God's house. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just trying to help you here. A lot of people don't know this stuff. So anyways, the next thing I want you to see as I move along, bring ye all. Now we covered that. Praise God. All the tithes. You know what people say? I can't afford to tithe. You can always afford to tithe if you do it first. You always get an income, 10% is God's, no matter what. I'll tell you what, you can't afford not to tithe. I'm telling you, you can't afford not to. The blessings are too much. God will bless you. Praise God. Now remember, this is the only apology you're going to get from me today in this service. Everything that I'm teaching here is straight out of the Word of God. It's what God wants for your life. It's what God wants for the kingdom. I know this, that if I don't teach people about faith, they won't have faith. If I don't teach people about the love walk, they will struggle in their love walk. If I don't teach people about renewing your mind, you won't renew your mind. If I don't teach people about being generous and being givers, you won't be generous and you won't be givers. And the plan of God will suffer. and your lives will suffer, and I refuse as a pastor. I got to answer to Jesus someday. And I'm gonna stand before him and say, I told him everything, Lord. I wasn't ashamed. Hallelujah. So bring all the tithes. When you're struggling, you bring the tithe. That's how it's going to get you out. It's amazing to me. People will do all these other things and forget about God. It's like, don't you want God to take care of your kids? Don't you want God to bless your business? Don't you want God to do this and that? Yet when it comes to God, totally forget about him. Totally forget about him. You reap what you sow.
Amen.
You reap what you sow. Hallelujah. And then the last thing, as we get going here, I want to share some things, is where do you bring it? You bring the tithe to the storehouse. Notice it doesn't say, bring ye all your offerings into the storehouse. Why? We have more light on this in the New Testament. It says, in the New Testament, as a man purposes in his heart, let him give. It's your choice where you give your offering. Remember, a tithe is a tenth part. Let me make it easy. If you make $100, 10% of that is $10. It is God's. And let me say this, it is better to have the 90% blessed and be under God's provision than have the 100% not be blessed. And so you make $100, 10% of it is God's. We bring that by faith. Now the Bible says also to bring an offering, which we're going to look at next week. It's going to get you real excited because the offerings is where the harvest comes in. And see, when you understand the offerings, you'll be excited that the Bible says tithes and offerings because that's where your increase comes. And again, we'll show you scripture after scripture after scripture. But anyways, what was I just talking about? Praise God. Help me out, somebody. Offerings, yes. It doesn't say to bring the tithe offering. Now, you'll see in the weeks to come, you'll want to put your offering in good ground. You can scatter seed along that road out there, corn seed. You're not going to get a harvest. You can give to certain ministries, and if they're not preaching the Bible, and if they're not getting people born again, and if they're not, you can give all day long. I've given before. The Lord said, don't expect any harvest on that. You didn't. That wasn't good ground. That's why I've been taught growing up, and I've seen it work in my life, my number one offering, we sow to a bunch of different ministers. We help people out. We do different things. My number one offering has always gone to my local church because I know the ground here. I don't have to wonder what they're doing. I don't have to wonder, is the word being taught? I don't have to wonder, are people getting born again? Are they doing the plan of God? I know it is. But we'll get to that in the offering. Now, here's what I want you to see in verse 12. Actually, I'm sorry, Rachel, back up to verse 11, because we think it's just that he'll open the windows of heaven. Mm-mm. Tithing will have an effect on your family, your kids, your grandkids, your businesses, your relationships, your job, the favor that you have in life, your health. Why? It says, if you'll do it, I'll rebuke the devourer. We can claim this because the Bible says in the New Testament, we have all the Old Testament blessings, but better. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Of course, we have a part in that now in the New Testament, taking authority over the enemy. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. What that's talking about there too is that you'll live out your full days. You won't go before the time. It's talking about other things too. It's in an agricultural sense as well, but it's also talking about finances. Things won't break down as quick for you. Things will work for you better, the blessing of the tither. And then verse 12 says this, it kind of backs it up. It says, and all the nations shall call you blessed. A blessed person is someone that's healthy, aren't they? You can be a millionaire, but if you're living with a debilitating disease, is that blessed? It sure isn't. I'd take my health over any amount of money any day of the week. Thank God, God says you can have it both. But see, when it says that all nations will call you blessed, it's talking about your whole life, your family blessed, your business blessed, your body blessed, your kids blessed. I'll tell you what, I could be a millionaire, and if my kids are off serving the devil, that's not blessed. That's take the money, I'll have my kids, right? But all nations will call you blessed. Why? The devourer's rebuked. All these blessings for the tither. Now, there was a pastor who pastors a church in Iowa that we're associated with through the special meetings that I go to. And he had a lady who was hemorrhaging. I can't remember the problem. And she was dying. And she went to the hospital, and as they were working on her and getting ready to help her, she was losing a lot of blood, and she started to slip away. And She started to slip away, and Jesus appeared to her. Now, biblical visitations like that, they're biblical. I've never had one. I hope to, but I'm not seeking it. But Jesus, he can appear to whoever he wants to. And he appeared to her. And she thought that that meant, I'm going to heaven. She had two little kids and a husband, young lady. And she said Jesus, she saw Jesus. And Jesus was standing there, and she said, Lord, have you come to receive me into heaven? I love her words because Jesus doesn't take anybody away. He said, have you come to receive me into heaven? And she said, Jesus got a big old grin on his face, eyes full of love. He looked at her and said, your time's not done here. I'm not here to receive you into heaven. You're not going anywhere. You're a tither. Her tithing, the Lord said to her, kept her and spared her. Now, I want to call, in a second, I'm going to call Jeff up here. Because it was interesting, he had a situation that happened at his gun. Of course, we know, if you don't know Jeff and Michelle, they own a gun shop. And one of the things Jeff does at the shop is he works on the guns. Well, he had an incident. We should have already had his funeral. We already should have had his funeral. And I'm going to call him up here to testify because it's interesting. After he was spared, what the Lord said in his heart. Now, I love how it went with the other story, and it goes with this. But brother, if you'd come forward and give a real quick testimony, because you'll do it more justice than I will. And I'm going to pull out two pieces of evidence, and you can just explain to everybody what happened. That would be a blessing, and tell them what the Lord said to you.
Okay. I do a lot of gunsmithing, and I've done this job over 100 times. I get a gun and a vise, a tool that I use that's safe. There was a live round in there. As I use it, it's supposed to be foolproof, but as we know, anything made by man is not foolproof. I was drilling it out. As I was drilling it, the button stuck and overheated, and the gun exploded. Now, when the gun exploded, okay, I had my watch on. The bolt went through my hand, hit my watch band, ricocheted off my head, and I had all kinds of shrapnel all over. And I do have scars from that. But praise God, I'm still alive.
Amen.
And as soon as that happened, I thanked the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, for your protection. And the thing he told me is, because you're a tither and you're faithful.
Praise God.
So I tell everybody, please be faithful and be a tither.
Amen.
Because it does matter.
Glory to God.
Okay, and we always go to the other side because Jesus is
Amen. Sorry. Brother, don't do so good. You're going to be taking my job. Praise the Lord. Preach it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Same thing he told that lady that was hemorrhaging. You're not going anywhere. You got kids. You got a full life to live. You're a tither. Same thing he told. First thing the Lord spoke in his heart, you're a tither. Why? It matters. You see, we get this idea of, oh, church is talking about money. You don't understand. Your finances go to making sure people don't burn in hell for eternity. We are sending missionaries to Spain on the church's dime. Why? So they can go and tell people who are on their way to hell. And we think, oh, stop talking about money in church. You don't understand. That checkbook and those dollar bills are so valuable.
Yeah.
We're going to Olean where people are walking in darkness. And they're going, I mean, we think we stopped keeping track in the 3 years. We've had dozens of people born again in this church that will not go to hell.
Praise the Lord.
Alice, how thrilled are you? This church wouldn't be here if we didn't have the finances. And praise God, Alice's husband born again, in heaven rejoicing. Alice's daughter, in heaven rejoicing, born again. Praise God. And so many, we have to start thinking right concerning money. Listen, the tithe is not, oh, just so the church can get... Listen, the church isn't storing away all piles of money to do ridiculous, frivolous things with it. No, it's for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And when people withhold, the meat in the house isn't there. And there's things that I can't do it on my own. I can't... I'll tell you what. There'll be a testimony coming out. You know, my wife and I have been in a season I won't go into too detail with it, where we have put every single penny that we have into this church and put everything in our life on a credit card just to keep this thing going. Why? I believe in it that much. I could care. Put me in debt. The Lord will give me a check and it'll pay the whole thing off. He's done it to me time and time again. I don't care. I'll sacrifice everything. I know, I believe in what God's doing here. The prophet of God, Dr. Dufresne, first 5 minutes of camp meeting, walks over to me. If you don't believe me, check it out on live stream. It's go to Promise of Life in Canada. Look at the first service. First 5 minutes he's preaching. Maybe it was 10. But anyways, it was right in the beginning. He comes up to me on the front row, and he starts ministering to me about increase. He knocks me off my chair, and the prophet of God lays on me, starts just hitting me, starts saying, increase is coming to you. Increase is coming to your church. We have sown and sown and sown and sown and have taken a back seat in our own personal life. Why? I love Jesus. I love people. I'm not trying to pull on your emotions to give. God help me if I'm ever trying to manipulate people or to twist your arm to give. That's why I just present the Bible and you decide. The Bible says if you tithe, you'll be blessed. It's God's doorway into more. Hallelujah. Another thing that the Lord dealt with me, the prophet of God saw into the spirit, and he said, that spirit of condemnation that's on you. And we all know the area, one thing I deal with the most is beating myself over the head. And he cast that spirit of condemnation out of me, and I haven't had an ounce of it on me since. Glory to God. Why? It took time to be in church. But if I could just get it over to people. I like when my wife does the nursery. It gives me liberty to go a little longer. I don't feel as bad for the worker back there. She's just taking care of the kids. It's just we're not home. Praise God. God has plans for this church. God has plans for this area. And you're all a part of it. We're a part of this storehouse. We've been taught faith. We've been taught the love walk. We've been taught how to do things. And let's stop with the mindset of Old Testament, I have to do it. And let's start with the mindset of Abraham of, my goodness, I get to do it. And people are being benefited. People, you know, the Durants here were here. There were people in this church that they called up, and the Durants spoke things to them that changed their life. And I'm sitting there thinking, how did they know that? I know because I meet with these people and I talk to them one-on-one, and the Durants are saying stuff to them. Listen, the Durants can't go from place to place. They do that everywhere, lighting fires. They go churches around the world, lighting fires. They don't do that for free. They need people to send them. They need people. Reverend Rich and Reverend Daffy that are going to Spain, they're going to light fires in Spain. They got to have people to send them. Praise God. You wait and see what God's going to do in this church. You just wait and see. You say, man, he told us. He said that from day one. I said, you're going to see God move in this church. And you wait, it'll come to pass. And we're not even scratching the surface yet. Hallelujah. So anyways, it matters to be a tither. And I understand that instantly your mind says, wow, 10%. And you do the figures of your paycheck, and you do your figures for the year of income, and you say, I don't understand. Listen, God said, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing. People will call you blessed. Your life will look blessed. Amen. Things will work out for you. You'll have divine protection. And glory to God. Glory to God. So that's the word of God this morning. Were you blessed? I'm glad he's still alive. I remember the webbing in his hand went right through it. And, you know, it's healed up now. And I wanted to share that testimony. And the Lord just kept saying, hold off. And so I did. I held off on that. And I didn't share it, but today was the day. Praise God. And because, you know, I heard that story again in Canada about that woman that was hemorrhaging. And I mean, how awesome that a woman in her 30s doesn't have to leave her children behind. And Jesus smiles at her and says, you ain't going nowhere. I'm here to tell you, you're staying on earth because you're a tither. Glory to God. What an honor it is. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and let's pray this morning. Father, we're so grateful for your protection, for your blessing, for your favor. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we get to bring our tithes. Father, we're not living in the days of when we have to do it. Father, we're living in the days of faith that says, Lord, you've done so much for us. We get to be a blessing to you. Father, we love you. Lord, I could care less about my own personal finances. Lord, I know I need them. I know I need them to pay bills. I know I need them to put food on the table. But Lord, you are my supply. And as long as I'm on this earth, you will always be first financially. It won't be hunting, it won't be recreation, it won't be vacations, it'll be you, Father. It'll be you, Lord, and I thank you. I will have children that will serve you. I will have children that will grow up in the things of God. I will have a family that's blessed and live in health and live in peace. And I thank you that from this day forward, we're all going to claim that. We're all going to say things are turning around for us. If we have kids that are out of the will of God, we say today, they're coming back to Jesus. They're either coming back to Jesus or they're going to get on fire for Jesus for the first time. If we have finances that are messed up, we say today's the day they all turn around. If we have health in our body, it all turns around. Father, we're going to obey you. We're going to obey you, Father. We just love you. We thank you for your mercy. Father, the heart of the tithe isn't to take. The heart of the tithe is to be a blessing to the body and to be a blessing to your people. Father, we love you. We glorify you. We thank you for your mercy. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here today, or if you're listening to this by live stream and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you don't have to jump through religious hoops. You don't have to do a bunch of works to get him to love you. It's not about your church attendance. It's whether or not you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, Father. You've made it simple. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody? Would you just lift your hand? I didn't think there was anybody in here that would need to receive Jesus, but I don't know who's listening by live stream. So if you are listening and you want to receive Jesus, just simply say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my life. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Rachel, you can cut the live stream now. I do need to share. Can you give me 2 minutes? I have to obey God.